So we have been in the book of Acts for several weeks in the series talking about what it meant to be the earliest believers, the earliest followers of Jesus in the world, and those who were first proclaiming about him and living their lives for him in the midst of a culture that didn't understand it and who received it sometimes well and sometimes not well. Does that sound familiar? So we are those same folks today. We are those same believers following Jesus. And so we're ending our series tonight with this passage in Acts 17, 1 through 15. And so I'm going to read these words and ask that the Lord will soften our hearts, that we will hear a fresh word from him tonight as we listen for what he would say to us. They took the road south through Amphipolis and Apollonia to Thessalonica, where there was a community of Jews. Paul went to their meeting place, as he usually did when he came to town, and for three Sabbaths running, he preached to them from the Scriptures. And as he preached, he opened the text, and the Spirit moved so they understood what they had been reading all their lives, that the Messiah absolutely had to be put to death and raised from the dead. There were no other options. And he imparted upon him the knowledge that this Jesus I'm introducing to you is that Messiah. Some of them were won over and joined the ranks of Paul and Silas, among them a great many God-fearing Greeks and a considerable number of women from the aristocracy. But those who were the leaders of the religious movement at that time, became furious over the conversions. Mad with jealousy, they rounded up a bunch of brawlers off the streets and soon had an ugly mob terrorizing the city as they hunted down Paul and Silas. They broke into Jason's house, thinking that Paul and Silas were there, and when they couldn't find him, they took Jason in shackles and his friends and dragged them before the leaders of the city, yelling hysterically, "These people who have been turning the world upside down, they have come here also. And Jason is hiding them. They've shown up on our doorstep, attacking everything we hold dear." The city fathers, the leaders, and the crowd of people were totally alarmed by what they heard. They made Jason and his friends post heavy bail and let them go while they investigated the charges. That night, under the cover of darkness, their friends got Paul and Silas out of town as fast as they could. They sent him to Berea, where he was met by a very different group. The Jewish community there received the word. They treated Paul and Silas with welcome. They were treated far better than in Thessalonica. The message that Jesus shared with them was met with enthusiasm, and he met with them daily, examining the Scriptures to see how they heard what the Lord was saying to them. A lot of them became believers, including many Greeks who were prominent in the community, women and men of influence. But it wasn't long before reports got back to the Thessalonians and the hard-line community there that was not receiving the word. And they wanted to take on Paul again. They heard that he was preaching, this time in Berea. They lost no time responding, created a mob scene there too with the help of friends. Paul, in the midst of the night, caught a boat and put it out on sea and escaped. Silas and Timothy stayed behind, and the men who helped Paul escape got as far as Athens and left him there. Paul sent word to Timothy and Silas saying, "Come as quickly as you can." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we pray that you would indeed open the Scripture tonight and teach us about the text that we may have heard time and time again. We pray that you will remind us who we are in you. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts will indeed be acceptable and glorifying in your sight. For you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was growing up, I'm the youngest of four kids, and when I was growing up, my dad used to say to us as we would leave the house for pretty much any reason, and my mom can attest to this true as being true, that he would say to us, remember who you are. Remember who you are out there, right? And then something shifted, and he began to say to us, hey, remember who you are, but also remember whose you are. Remember who you are, and remember whose you are. And when we talked about this around the family dinner table, my brother would push him a little bit and say, what does that really mean? Like, remember who you are and whose you are. And my dad would say, who you are is determined by whose you are. And you belong to God. You belong to this family. But first and foremost, you belong to God. So when you go out in the world, you are representing the God who is your God and this family who is your family. Remember who you are and whose you are. This morning, Pastor Ben preached a great sermon on this same scripture and said something that caught my ear for sure. He said that a lot of people are spending money these days on Ancestry.com and all these things to find their genealogy. And he said, I can save you a lot of money and tell you right now, these are your ancestors. This is who you are. These are the people you come from. These are your people in Scripture. And I thought a lot about that this week as I was preparing the sermon and reading through the different passages and Acts that we've read before. Over and over again, what we are reminded of is who we are, because we are reminded of whose we are. We are proclaiming the Messiah, the one who is and was and will to be and will always be our Savior. We are proclaiming the one who came and came to us as love with flesh on, the incarnation of God himself, that we may be reconciled to God through him. These are our ancestors. And so when we are to remember who we are and whose we are, we remember the people of Scripture. But in the book of Acts, we have been hearing about these stories of what that early church looked like and how they had to live in the midst of a culture that did not understand them. And sometimes they were received, and sometimes they weren't. And sometimes they were welcomed with hospitality, and sometimes they were treated as foreigners, and they were spat upon and had dust kicked on them. But never did they believe that it was up to them to control how the message was received. I love that. Their job was to simply proclaim who Jesus is, and then to let the Spirit move as it would, and to let people's hearts be open and receive or not. They went and proclaimed because that was what they were called to do. That was who they were. But they didn't need to determine or control how the word is received. They were simply called to proclaim it. And so are we today, as we look back at these stories in Acts and we remember who we are and whose we are. We remember some of the stories. If you all can think with me, we remember back to the community that began to share all things in common, that prayed and worshiped God together as their main practice before they did anything. They prayed and worshiped and sang songs of worship together, following Jesus, and then they shared all things in common with any of them who had need. They welcomed the stranger and the outcast. They looked out for the widow and the orphan in their midst. And then Stephen proclaimed the word of God, of the love of God, the incarnation of Jesus, of Jesus as Messiah. And not only was it not received well, but he was treated hostily and taken to his death. And yet, he did not curse those who killed him, but following the example and the truth of Jesus, he asked for their forgiveness even as he was being stoned. We heard about the conversion of Saul on the road to Damascus and how he, who had been the one who they had laid their cloaks at when they had stoned Stephen to death, he became a follower of Jesus also. We heard about how in a dream and vision that Paul was shown that the circle of God's love was open to everyone, and that we are not to determine who is and who is out of God's love and mercy, but that God's arms are flung wide for Gentile and Jew alike. And Paul was given a new vision of who he was to be as a follower of Jesus. The followers were beaten up and jailed. They refused to leave the jailer who was about to take his life. And then he was converted. They healed a young girl who was possessed by a demon who was afflicted. They did all these things. These people remind us who we are too. And this scripture today for tonight talks about how these people were turning the world upside down, and they have come here among us also. These ones who are turning the world upside down. And some of those examples that I just gave you are the ways that the early church turned the world upside down, right? The gospel is said to sometimes comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Have you ever heard that? That the gospel sometimes comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. And so we hear about in the passage tonight how those who were in positions of authority and power, they didn't want that to be questioned and shaken. They didn't want this group who were turning the world upside down to come into their midst and to show them that perhaps there was another way of being in the world. And so they were angry and jealous and mad. And they went after Paul and Silas because they had to silence this word of freedom. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? The word of freedom, the freedom of Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, is never silenced and will never be silenced. And we here tonight are reflections of that word, aren't we? We are continuing the message of Jesus' good news into the world by every moment that we live. Sometimes I do a better job of embodying it than others, but the reality is we are always called to live and to remember who we are and whose we are and to live as those disciples as best we can in the world, knowing that we are not called to control how the message is heard or received. We are simply called to deliver it. I know I've said it before to you. We are not to be the judge or the jury. We are simply called to be the witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ. And whether it falls on deaf ears or whether it is received with open arms and hospitality, we are to love across the board those who receive it and are converted and those who refuse it and may stone us, literally or figuratively. We are to proclaim the word of Jesus made flesh and love indiscriminately those who receive and those who don't receive. Because if we do not love, we are bearing witness against the message. If we do not love those who hate us and speak receiving words of hospitality to those who disagree with us, we are witnessing opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we are not followers of Jesus only when the word is received. We are followers of Jesus all the time. And we do not love only those who receive his word. We love all the time. Because Jesus himself from the cross proclaimed those words he was quoting from Scripture, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." We live and bear witness and have our life and our being in him. And so we must remember who we are and whose we are if we are to turn the world upside down in the same way that Jesus' followers in first century did. Otherwise, we will fall into the trap of our culture of turning the world upside down in ways that are not faithful. We will become dividers instead of uniters. We will become those who incite hatred instead of love. We will become those who insist upon our own way rather than desiring to be faithful. It is a time in our world where we are called to follow Jesus all the more. And the only way we can do that is by coming together to worship him in community and by reading scripture and by praying and by growing in our roots of faith with one another and encouraging one another so that then we may go out and not forget who we are and whose we are. Friends, it is easy in this world to fall into other identities. The spirit that works against God Almighty would desire nothing more than for us to believe that our identity is held in something other than Jesus. The spirits of this world are not the spirit of our God and of his Christ. But we remember who we are and whose we are, and we are called to turn the world upside down by loving recklessly, indiscriminately, with passion and conviction, and refusing to be a part of the division of our society and world, all the ways we want to divide ourselves from one another and draw circles of who's in and who's out, we are called to proclaim another way, in fact, the only way, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. I had a Sunday school teacher, and I actually, it was strange because I heard this on the news this week, but I had a Sunday school teacher who said this too. I heard someone remembering their, I don't know whether they heard it in church or Sunday school, but the same message, and that is this, that if the kingdom of God lives within us, then we better leave a little bit of heaven everywhere we go. If the kingdom of God really lives within us, we better leave a little bit of heaven wherever we go, wherever we are. And if we look behind us and we are not leaving heaven, but we are leaving something that looks like hell, then we better go back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and be reshaped and reformed as followers of Jesus, because Jesus never left a trail of destruction, but only a trail of love and forgiveness and mercy and kindness and peace and compassion. We know the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, self-control. When we look behind us and these are not the things we are leaving, if we are leaving division, then we better go back to the Lord and be reshaped again and remember who and whose we are. We are called to turn the world upside down not by the ways of the world, but by the ways of our God and of his Christ. Let us not be afraid to remember who we are and whose we are, and let us do it often. I don't know about you, but I forget from 1 minute to the next, it seems. I can be reading my Bible and worshiping God, and then I can go out in my car, and in a moment's notice, I can forget who I am. Friends, we must stay abiding in Jesus. It is the only way to turn the world upside down as God would have it done. Let us not be deceived by the other ways of being in the world. Let us remember that if the kingdom of God is within us, we better leave a little bit of heaven everywhere we go and follow in the footsteps of our brothers and sisters who went before us and who are the communion of saints that are still encouraging us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.